Hello everyone, this is Professor Reena Pujara, having an industry experience of 6 years and teaching experience of 6 years. Today we are here to discuss something about industrial relations. Now before going on to this topic, industrial relations, I just want to understand that what is industry and what is relation. So when I talk about industry, so what is industry? Industry is a place wherein we hire, you know, employees, laborers, workers to get the things done in different areas. Industries may be of different types. They may be primary industries, secondary industries, tertiary industries, and they have different work structures, workflows according to which the work design is being performed. So here the second term which states relation. What is relation? So here we are talking about relation between two parties which are associated directly with the industry, that is employer and employee. So these are the major parties which are contributing whether the relations are good or bad in an industry. And there are other parties indirectly associated with these two parties. So when I say employer and employee, they are directly associated with the industry. Employer may be businessmen, entrepreneurs, government, and employees are workers, laborers. And when a collection of laborers together, they form a union, which is now called as trade unions. So these are the two direct parties which are associated with industry. But it no more remains a personal concern when this industrial relation are now going to affect the society. So now once the society has come into picture, society is one of the party associated with industrial relation. Then comes the government rules, regulation and laws which are set up or passed so that there is a smooth functioning and better cordial industrial relations. The work environment of today demands a unique mindset having a visionary approach and the ability and willingness to take risk as well as a passion for working. Now not only talking about industrial relations when it was being evolved, but in today's work environment we also require competitive workforce because there is tremendous competition. And when we talk about international market, there is again a competition within the domestic competitors available in that market, competitors available from other countries and ourselves. So when we talk about international markets, there is high level of competition. But at the same time, when we talk about domestic or national market, we have to be very competitive, and this smooth industrial relation will give us a competitive advantage. How can we, you know, achieve this smooth or good industrial relation? There are various aspects to it. Let us study that in detail. During the last few years, the significance of human relation in the workplace has been increasingly felt. A new set of regulations has been formed and many labor welfare measures have been adopted to improve the working conditions in industries and firms. So when we look at this, we understand that since last few years, when there is industrialization, at the same time there is high level of competition, and at the same time there is a need of building up a good human relation system. So when I talk about industrialization, what is industrialization? Industrialization is nothing but increasing in the number of industries in a particular place or a nation, or it may be on a global level. So many number of industries coming up, or say mushrooming of industries, this will bring industrialization. So when there is industrialization, we require more and more people to work for this increasing number of industries. So at the same time, there are more number of employers and more number of employees. So when there are more number of employers and employees, there is a significant need of building up a good human relation system. Now, here when I talk about employer and employee, they are no one but human beings. So, when we want smooth and good, you know, industry relation, here there should be a cordial cooperation between these two parties. And when this is achieved, the automatic effect is we already have a good industrial relation in our industry. And when this is, you know, imposed on different industries, the overall nation industrial relation goes well. And for this, government intervention is necessary. So when government intervenes in, you know, building up a smooth ecosystem, they pass certain rules, regulations and laws which an industrialist, employer, employee has to follow. And when these are followed, you know, generously and continuously, we may be in a better position to have a good industrial relation system. So from all this, we understand that if we want to sustain in this competitive market and we want to reap benefits and want a competitive advantage of our human resource, it's very important to maintain a good relation between the employer and employee. So, good industrial relations are the basic requirements for the rapid growth of any organization. So, when we talk about any organization or any industry, whether it may be primary, secondary or tertiary, and if there is an employer and employee relationship in these industries, so if we want a rapid growth and we want to reap the benefits in this competitive market, it becomes very important for us to design such policies, such rules and such a good working condition which keeps our employee motivating to contribute more towards the organization. And this automatically will, you know, give us the benefits, the increase in profitability. Good working environment and great interpersonal relationships help in strengthening employer-employee interactions, which in turn help in taking decisions quickly. So when there is a mutual trust between employer and employee, when the employee trusts that all those decisions taken in my organization or by my employer will also benefit me, when this mutual trust and good relation is created between employer, employee, or I can say organizations and trade unions, so the decision making process becomes faster. But at the same time, if we look at the other part, when there are bad relations or say not very good relations with employer, employee, organizations and trade union, there is no mutual cooperation or trust between these two parties, what happens is every decision taken by management will be, you know, further clarified or will be always doubted by the trade unions or employees of that organization. So the decision making process will be delayed. But when we have very good industrial relation, transparency and involvement of our employees in the decision making process, it becomes very fast to implement any new policy or any change in the organization. And to be competitive, acceptance of change becomes very important. At a very fast pace, we have to accept change and implement in our organization. Such constructive environment works towards making the customers happy, as the customers' requirements are met without having to wait for a manager's approval. Now here when we talk about customers, here the concept says not only external customers but internal customers. Now let us understand what is external customer and what is internal customer. So when we talk about external customer, they are the consumers who are actually going to consume, buy our products. So they are external customers. But at the same time, if we want to satisfy our external customers, organization, employer should be in a position to satisfy their internal customers. Now who are these internal customers? They are the parties associated with the organization. So one of them and very important one is their own employees, suppliers, creditors also are called as internal customers. So when all these are satisfied, automatically the quality of product, efficiency, productivity increases, and which also gives us benefit in the competitive market. In a nutshell, happiness in the job enables employees to excel in their jobs. So here, when we talk about happiness, you know, the happiness is not only derived by monetary terms. There are other various terms which derives happiness for an employee. It is not only, say, monetary benefit for which employee is looking for. Employee, when working in an organization, looks at various aspects like growth, respect, trust, dignity, etc. For people to be happy with their work, three things are needed. They must be physically and mentally fit and fresh. So when we talk about happiness, there are major three aspects contributing to this happiness called very important to be in an industry. So here the first one talks about physical fitness. Now when an employee comes to an organization to work, he or she should be physically fit, and then only they will be in a better position to, you know, give better work quality. And sometimes in an organization we see long duration of working hours. So this long duration of working hours somewhere affects the physical fitness of an employee. So somewhere this is an example of long duration working hours affecting physical health of an employee. So we decide here minimum or maximum working hours for a particular job. When we talk about mental fitness, what is mental fitness, or what is good working environment that will provide mental fitness? So your mental fitness means the work process which an employee has to follow in his day-to-day tasks, the machines that he uses, you know, the ventilations provided in an industry, what a quality provided by industry. So this all definitely affects not only physical health but also mental health of the worker. Good co-workers, good management, cooperative management, training and development, growth, this all contributes to a mental health of an employee, which is equally important as physical health of an employee. They must not be made to overwork, and they must have a sense of pride in their jobs and in the organization. As we have already discussed, that it is not only monetary benefits what employees are looking for. Monetary benefits are definitely important, because without this there will be no motivation for a worker to work. But at the same time, we are looking at say number of hours specified in an industry should be that much which doesn't affect the physical health of the employee. And other aspects like good working environment helps to keep the employee motivated and fresh, and which in turn will give more efficiency and more productivity. When there is more efficiency, more productivity, automatically low cost of production is the result. When there is low cost of production, automatically our product stands unique in the market. So overall you can see it is a cycle. Management gives some benefits to the employee. So in this cycle, these benefits are again coming back to their employer. Over the last several decades, excellent progress has been made by the Indian industrial sector. Multinational companies are witnessing the benefits of outsourcing from India. India has in abundance a natural resource called as human resource. We stand second largest in terms of population, and India is somewhere able to benefit from its human resource, and we can identify this through various outsourcing assignments which other countries are now happily giving it to India. So it's not only say number of labors available in the market or in India, but also the qualitative aspects of labor or workers available in India. And up to an extent, in India, we are successful to maintain, say, a harmonial relationship between employer and employee, or to maintain good relationship in industries and organizations. This is the result of the increasing quality consciousness of Indian people. So when we talk about quality, quality comes from better processes, happy workforce. So if the workforce is not happy with their jobs, though we have latest technologies with us, though we have the best infrastructure with us, but then we will not be, you know, competitive in terms of our human resource, end quality results will be affected. To take India to the next level of this progress, we as the human and industrial relation professionals need to build up abilities and skills among our employees. So it's not always employer who looks forward to maintain good industrial relation. But as an employee, an employee should always give their best so that they contribute to the organization or industry. But at the same time, how will an employee be able to do so? So here, by updating ourselves, by polishing our skills as per the requirement of the industry, will help an employee to contribute more to the organization. But again here, there should be a mutual understanding between employer and employee. That means an employer should always think of its employees' betterment through training and development. Through proper implementation of change, this can be achieved. We need to develop quality consciousness, efficiency, and effectiveness among them. Now here, what is quality consciousness? That means, as long as we are entrepreneurs, it is our own business. We think that this property belongs to me, we take care of that property. But as long as there is a divorce between this relationship of ownership. So now when we talk about employees, they are not actually owners of that industry. They are just considered to be workers, which are hired to get certain set of tasks to be performed. So here this sense of ownership is missing. And that's why this employee will not think or not feel this organization belongs to me. I should contribute more. So here we are looking forward to implement such programs or implementation of such techniques. When an employee feels involved in the organization, the employee has that belongingness to the organization or industry and feels that this industry belongs to me. That is a sense of ownership. We also need to develop positive attitude among them. And automatically when the sense of ownership or the sense of involvement comes into an employee, automatically he will be very positive towards his work. And this will definitely create positive environment and attitude among the employees. We must be flexible in how we relate to people from different cultures and backgrounds. Now here, say when we design policies, rules, regulation in an organization. In an organization, there will be varieties of people from varieties of backgrounds, cultures. So some of our policies may be suitable to a class of employees and may not be suitable for other class of employees. Say for example, I'll give you one example for this. While designing a leave policy, I am in Maharashtra. So I have given a long leave, say 5 days leave for our Ganpati celebration. But at the same time, now there will be people who do not celebrate this festival. They are from some other states. And I have not given, say, a holiday for their festivals. So here, there is an indirect, dissatisfaction among those employees. So here, I am thinking of majority of the class of people. And not, say, minority class of people who have come from other states. So what can we do? Can we plan or can we make such leave policies, you know, which are flexible in nature, which can be adopted by different class of employees according to their convenience? Yes, of course, it is possible. If we think in that manner, we can always make flexible leave policies. So that makes us as an employer to give a justification to all employees working in our organization who belongs to different castes, religion and states. We must improve their moral sense of belongingness and ownership. This point we have already discussed, that how we create a positive attitude among the employees by improving their moral. Then what does moral means? What are some of our moral responsibilities? Say for example, we should not waste too much of water. So this is not written in any of say government acts, or you won't be punished if you waste water. But then it is a moral responsibility to save water and not waste it. So somewhere, if we are able to increase this moral responsibility of employees towards its organization, automatically we are not enforcing them, or we are not making any compulsions, but voluntarily now employee is working for its organization. Sense of belongingness and ownership are the two major aspects which will create such an environment in an industry. By this, we will be promoting the organization's objectives and goals as the managers in real sense of it. Now, when I talk about industries, organization, definitely they are social entities, but their primary objective is to earn profit. Profit maximization is their primary objective. So if that is not achieved, good industrial relation definitely will get affected. So ultimately, now here we want to integrate personal objectives of an employee and organizational objectives. So when these objectives are integrated, somewhere I will achieve my personal objective as well as organizational objective. This forms the basis of our journey to the operational excellence. For achieving these goals, we must know the principles of industrial relations. So now, how can we achieve this? We have spoken a lot about we should do this, we should do that, we should give a sense of ownership to an employee. Now we know what all has to be done, but how we can do that? So we have more clarity on this only when we know what are the important principles of industrial relations. Let's have a look at it. The feasibility, efficiency and effectiveness of an organization depend on management of labor. So when we talk about management of labor, here comes the term that is called as management. So here we are looking forward to perform all those functions of management to get an effective and productive workforce. So when we talk about management, what comes to our mind? Functions of management, right? That is planning, organizing, directing, controlling, coordinating, etc. So here also we implement those functions of management to have an effective, planned, organized, trained workforce, which in turn will give us higher productivity, higher efficiency. Continuous increase in productivity, profitability, quality, safety can be accomplished. How? If the labor is properly planned, organized, trained, directed and controlled. By whom? By the leaders of workers itself and the management personnel. As per the principles of management, it results in the most ideal utilization of resources. If you remember 14 principles designed by Henry Fayol, okay, to have an effective management system in an organization, it reminds us of utilizing, or say utilization of resources up to its maximum utilization of resources. And here we are also talking about resources, which is very important resource, and that is human resource. So we can use maximum of human resource, not by letting them work for more number of hours, but then organizing, planning it in such a way that those minimum or maximum working hours contribute more. Success of the organization depends on the quality of human resource management. Now here, how are we able to manage this human resource depends that how productive our human resource will be. It is not only forcing the employee to work more number of hours and not giving them leaves, not giving them facilities, this is not going to reap, you know, profit maximization. But then managing these employees in a well-organized manner will reap more benefits and profits. Employees' commitment and self-control can be secured only through better labor management relationships. Now here, we have understood what is better relationship between management and employee. But here, these two terms, that is commitment and self-control. Generally, controlling is done by other party. That means if you are coming late, okay, your parents may be controlling you by giving a time limit to return home. So here, when we talk about self-control, means what? Your parents has given you freedom that, okay, you can go out. But then you have set some limits for you to come back home, say by 9. So this is self-control. Nobody else has given you a limit, but you are now drawing a limit for yourself. So similarly, that kind of attitude needs to be created in an employee. So he himself has a control on himself. He will not, you know, manufacture defective products because he wants to manufacture only quality products. And this is possible only if the employee is committed towards his job. If he or she is committed towards his job, definitely there will be lesser number of defects in a product and high level of quality. Labor management relations involve human relationships and they can be made more productive and healthy by getting people more involved in their jobs. Now here we have understood that how we create a self-control by creating a committed workforce. But then how we will create this committed workforce? So here is one more, you know, recipe of creating this committed workforce, that is by involving the people in decision making process or any other process which is important in an organization. So that will be called as employee involvement or people involvement in the organization. To accomplish this, the management people must be proactive in understanding the needs and problems of the labor and very responsive to solve their problems and fulfill their needs. Now, if we are looking forward to involve our people and, you know, creating them as a committed employee or expecting commitment from our employees, now here comes in picture the role of employer. How the employer is going to create such a workforce? So here they have to be proactive in nature. What does proactive means? That means taking appropriate actions at the time required, not delaying in decisions. Now say for example, we are practicing or an organization is practicing of manual entry system, but now they are transforming this to computerization. The employee working on the manual register may or may not know how to use this computer. So directly you go to an employee and say that from tomorrow you will be working on the computer. He may resist on this. This is called as resistance in change. He may not accept the change and there is a friction between employer and employee which may spoil the relation between employer and employee. So here, if we want to implement this change, we have to be a little proactive in nature. That means now we know that we are going to change the pattern from manual to computerization. I may have trained that employee well in advance. So now when we have trained this employee well in advance, he has no fear in his mind. He will readily accept this change. They must be very fair in treating the labor with compassion, kind-heartedness and sympathy in every aspect of work. After all, we are talking about human beings, right? Employees are human beings. So here at the same time when we are expecting high level of professionalism, commitment, involvement, at the same time treating human beings through, you know, wholeheartedly sympathizing them will also create their affiliation towards the organization. They will also think that my employer is thinking for me and in turn I should also think for my employer or organization. Now let us have a quick review of what are the basic objectives of human industrial relation, why we should study industrial relation or why there should be good industrial relation in an industry. To facilitate production and productivity. As I told you, happy workforce will work very happily, efficiently, and which will result into better productivity. To safeguard rights and interests of both labor and management by securing their cooperation. Here we are not only talking about, you know, sympathizing or letting go things on the part of employer. Employer has an equal right because he is investing. He is the entrepreneur. He is bringing in idea. He is, you know, generating employment. And he is somewhere contributing to the society. So equal rights means here we make such rules, regulation, policies or an environment where employer and employee both are benefiting out of it. It is not industrial relation. Generally is not only for employees' betterment but of a betterment of a society as a whole. To achieve sound, harmonious and mutually beneficial labor management relations. To bring about socialization of industries. Now this is very important. What do you mean by socialization? Now in a family, we are always ready to help our family members whenever needed. So that is somewhere a social group. But the same if we apply in our offices and in our organization. We are, you know, in a group, whether we know a person or we don't know a person, whether we like a person or we don't like the person, but then we, while performing our job, we have to be in that group. So let's convert this formal type of group into social group. That means when we are in a social group, we are more comfortable. So somewhere we want, you know, to create such a culture in an industry and organization that we have a home-like feeling when we enter into our organization. We feel this is a second home and we are ready to do whatever is needed to grow our organization. And why this socialization of group is important? So to avoid unhealthy atmosphere in the industry, especially work stoppages, go slow, garyos, strike, lockouts, etc. So here, if we feel a family type of a feeling when we are working in an organization, we are ready to help in all ups and downs of the industry. So generally, it will avoid the unhealthy atmosphere prevailing in the industry and work stoppages like strikes and lockouts. To protect and improve the interest of both the labor and the management by developing mutual understanding and confidence. And this can be only done by a mutual understanding between employer and employee. So that whenever an employee has a problem, that is grievance, he can go to his employer and discuss it. And when employer requires some inputs while taking some decision, employees can be involved in the decision making process. And here they will, you know, create a mutual understanding and confidence among themselves. To minimize employee turnover and absenteeism among workers and encourage them to enhance productivity. So not only these good relations are directly contributing to the productivity of an employee, but indirectly somewhere when you are happy with your industry, you don't feel like leaving that industry for some extra benefits. So if there are two competitors, I am happy with company A. Now company B is going to provide me more monetary benefits. But still, I feel comfortable with company A and I don't join company B. So this somewhere helps us to reduce the turnover. And which type of turnover? Employee turnover. When I don't feel like going to work, I remain absent, right? So here when I'm happy, I feel like a social group, I avoid being absent to the work. And this automatically increases the productivity overall. To uplift the economic status of workers by improving wages and benefits. Now here comes the role of employer. Now employee is ready to contribute, ready to increase the productivity, ready to work efficiently. But now they are ready to work only when employer is ready to give them better working environment by providing better benefits, and somewhere increase in wage and salary will help the employee to improve their economic status, financial status. To establish government control over industries which are running in laws or in which production has to be regulated in public interest. Now talking about small scale industries. Now in small scale industries, due to various reasons, many of the small scale industries are running in loss. So when already industry is running in loss, we are not or we cannot actually expect, you know, increase in wages and better benefits over there. So here we would like the government to come in the role and sort out this issue by turnaround management. Now, what is turnaround management? Turnaround management means somewhere it is a process of converting a loss-making unit to a profit-making unit. To encourage and develop trade unions in order to improve workers' strength. Now, say when there is a factory or an industry wherein thousands of workers are working. So, if say one of the employee goes to an employer complaining about say something, he may or may not listen to it. But now say 1,000 of the employee together go and you know, put forward that grievance in front of the employer, definitely employer has to take some action. So when we talk about group of employees, now namely we call those as trade unions. So now there should be some control over trade unions also, so that they are not you know, exploiting the power of togetherness. Sometimes it happens so that trade union use this power against the employer, and employer is not in that position, you know, to defend himself. So somewhere there should be also some government intervention wherein we can have a balance between this relationship. There are two important aspects of industrial relations seen in a modern society. So now if we talk about today's competitive market, there are two aspects which will always be there in industrial relation. The very important and one among them is cooperation. So when we are looking forward to have smooth and good industrial relation, there should be cooperation among various parties which are associated directly or indirectly to this industrial relation movement. The cooperation between labor and management is one of the basic requirements. So if there is a better cooperation between employee and employee, better industrial relationship. For the smooth functioning of modern industries and growth of industrialization, the management offer employment, wages and other amenities of life to the workers. The workers in turn offer their services. So it is say somewhere if I look at this concept, it seems to be a buyer-seller concept. Your employee is buying services of employees and employees are selling services, right? In turn, they are getting wages and say some facilities offered by the employer. Thus, there is a fair degree of give and take and serving of mutual interest. So here, nobody is doing a favor. Employer, if he is employing or employee in an organization, he is not doing any favor. So in turn, employee is giving him services. Thus, there is a fair degree of give and take and serving of mutual interest, which is at the base of cooperation between them.